Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
This hour is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The details, being on top of it, huddle, we call it PSP, but pre-snap procedure, all these different things matter. And especially in big games and big moments, all the little things come up. And so, I think you know, that's important to him and it's important to us. And we got to get on top of it and be on top of it from the head down. So, like I said, the Ben Johnson effect, I guess, right?
That's Caleb Williams talking about his head coach, Ben Johnson. This is 670 The Score, Rahimi and Harris and you. The Bears have one more day of mandatory minicamp. Chris Emma will join us to talk about minicamp. We will have a report from Bears minicamp. That is at 1:25 today. But in the meantime, we spent our first hour talking about Jaquan Brisker, discussing his concussion history and what's gone on for him since that has happened and what is his approach moving forward. Marshall asked the question, should the Bears even sign him after he becomes an unrestricted free agent after the season, and trying to figure that out. So as we've examined that, that was our first hour. But in the second one, I think we're going to do a lot of discussion about other pieces of the minicamp experience. And that includes us trying to figure out whether or not the offense is getting the better of the defense. I've had conflicting reports so far over 2 days.
Wait, what are the conflicting reports? I thought everybody was on board with saying that the offense is actually beating out the defense here in early, which is surprising because usually the defense is ahead of the offense.
It is, and typically that's the case. Even Ben Johnson himself actually contradicted some of what we had heard to that. Ben Johnson had said that the things we have seen would indicate the offense is getting the better, but perhaps it isn't really the case. I thought that was interesting he even offered that up.
One of the things I'm appreciating about Ben Johnson, which I didn't know would carry over into this portion of his tenure as Chicago Bears head coach, remember when he first spoke at his introductory press conference and then shortly thereafter went on kind of a media tour in which he was talking to anyone and everyone, whether it was the owners' meetings, whether it was the combine, whatever. Ben Johnson was here and he was down to clown. He was down to tell you whatever you wanted to know because nothing had happened yet, so he was in kind of a safe space. You wondered if that would carry over into, hey, there's actually stuff going on where guys are learning things. I'm teaching them, and they need to be on top of my offense. Everyone needs to be on the same page. Would we get him kind of pulling the curtain together a little bit and you have less of a view? Well, if yesterday was any indication, that is not the case. Listen to what he had to say specifically about Caleb Williams when he made a mistake during practice.
Was he supposed to go somewhere else with that? Did you see something?
No, he was late. So he needs to get there faster.
How is he responding in those sorts of moments?
Awesome. Yeah, he's doing a great job. He's very coachable. And, it's like anything. It's a new play. And so we're just communicating what the expectations are. And we want to see it show up on the tape.
It's the bluntness in which he said, this is what happened to who asked the question, the Bears media corps, in that moment that made me, the light bulb went off in my head. I was like, oh no, this is really just who he is, at least until the games start getting playing, take a couple of L's, but he'll just tell you what's what. And a lot of coaches in the same situation would be like, all right, I'm trying to keep things secret. I want to protect my players, blah, blah, blah. Now he's like, yeah, he was late. It happens. We're learning new things. This is how it's going to go. Sometimes mistakes are made. When they're made, though, I told y'all, we will correct it. We will, quote unquote, nip it in the bud, which is what he did on a new play that Ben Johnson had explained to Caleb. No, you've got to be doing this by this time because that's the way this goes. Do you think that has anything to do with what happened last year on Thanksgiving at the end of that game? Seeing that and understanding how timing works and being on the other end of that, I think that was a teachable, coachable moment in that moment, and that's part of his frame of reference when he deals with Caleb Williams and this entire offense.
Yeah, I think it was even more simple than that.
Okay.
I think it was, this is what I expect on the play, and this didn't happen, and here's why. And the fun part about it is you're hearing it from the head coach, which means that's whose word it is going here. His word is the most important. So if you think you saw something as an observer or a meeting member or whatever else you may have seen, then no, this is what I'm supposed to see on this play. I think the confidence comes in when you say, I'm going to tell you what happens on this play and you can't do anything about it because we have better execution. Like, that's what practice, I think, is supposed to be. That's what minicamp is supposed to be, an install. And you want the hard moments to come now. Because you don't want them to come when you're playing the game and you get beaten on a play you thought you were supposed to win because practice made you think that that was going to happen. And then you don't have a counter once the game goes. And then maybe you're downtrodden and that's where the body language comes in. Like, you all see it start to come in play and put the pieces together in a way where not only are you seeing like the mini episodes, but you're seeing the entire season and concept take shape like that. Like, I understand the concept of just getting on them in practice the way he is right now. You want practice to be the hard part. You want to waltz into somebody else's stadium and do what you need to do and run the offense at will.
I guess it's so refreshing because that's not what we saw during the Matt Eberflus era, specifically last season, in that we kept getting words from the players themselves about how things weren't being handled directly as they should have been, whether that was Matt Eberflus himself, whether that was the offensive coordinator and Shane Waldron. You never got the sense that everybody was on the same page. Now, this standard, which I guess I look at it as being a high standard. It seems like for Ben Johnson, though, this is just the regular standard. This is how things are supposed to look and how they're supposed to go. And I wonder how many of those players feel the same way as they're being coached through it, whether it's Cole Kmet in his alignment being yard off where he's supposed to be on a play, which makes all the difference in the world because everything has to look the same. Everything has to look different. It's both one and the other at the same time. But also for Caleb Williams to just be held to a standard in which He understands he ain't, like you said before, Layla, he's not the big man on campus. Ben Johnson is the big man on the Hallis Hall campus. So he will have to do whatever it is that the head coach says, caller.
It's also just nice for us because we don't have to debate it. It's like, oh, well, Ben Johnson said this happened. Okay. Then the coach's play was not what he intended it to be. Here's the quote, by the way, I wanted to read to you about the 2-minute offensive scoring, because that was the drill that we heard Mark Rohde give us the report up. And things were sounding pretty great, right? Like, it sounded like things were going well. And he said to the media, I know you haven't seen every single OTA so far, but I would say the defense has gotten the better of the offense. Oh, we have it? Let's hear it from Ben instead of me.
I know you haven't been to every single OTA so far, but I would say the defense has gotten the better of the offense more often than not.
Oh, man.
In all those 2-minute, whether it's end of half or end of game. So it was good to see the offense stack a few plays together. That's a very tough situation. I think it was 90-plus yards and in under a minute with no timeouts. And so it was cool to see them stack some plays. See, Caleb really, what we thought about him was when the lights are bright, that he was going to show up, and it felt like the game slowed down a little bit for him, and he was able to just go out and find an open guy and get a completion. So that was good to see. Well, there might have been some sacks mixed in there, so it was a little bit more slanted to the offense. But in terms of the drill and the situations that came up, I thought it was really good learning for everybody.
Oh, we know there were some sacks because Grody told us. Oh,
he said Javon Dexter got in on one, right?
Montez Sweat.
Or was it Montez Sweat that would have had a sack?
Yes.
Okay, and then this was the drive where Kyle Monongai ran it in at the end, I think.
According to the Grody play-by-play, I believe so.
But
wait, according to the Grody Bears hit, I don't know what you're talking about play-by-play. We never saw a thing.
Listen, I just love that him telling the media that, and conversely, by way of telling the media, you're also telling the fan base what is really going on there, giving it a little further context and depth. It's also showing, hey guys, the offense, what you saw them do today, that's actually progress, because the defense had been doing more of what they wanted to do than the offense was doing what they wanted to do.
And I know this is something that we'll always ask, especially at training camp, but given what Grody had to say and given what we knew Ben Johnson was going to say about Caleb, I did think it was valid, because we had different reports, and maybe that's a good thing. You know, for highlight reels and for video, you want to see the offense producing. You want to see the pass.
Especially completed. In a city like this.
You want to see yards. You want to see that kind of progress.
It's sexier.
I want to hear about Tyler Scott in this. I want to hear about Kyle Monange.
Because you hadn't heard about them in a while.
I have to tell you something.
Tell me.
I wanted Tyler Scott to be utilized in some of the ways they did his past two seasons, but I often thought that they would decide to use him in like either really obvious situations where that was the intended play and the intended first read, or that they were like, hey, rookie, the game is on the line. We're going to make you now run the go route on a third and long and see if you can help us out. Well, what do you think was going to happen there, guys?
To say you wanted him to be utilized in certain ways is cool and all, but I just wanted him to be utilized. So,
well, and he was one of those, again, you know, the film at Cincinnati, we was like, once he turns on the burners, he's gone, you know, like once he gets the ball in his hands, and he could separate that outer level of the defense before he even got the ball. So then how are they going to use it? But I just, it was too obvious at times, I'm afraid.
So we're learning about what Ben Johnson has in store for Tyler Scott, Kyle Monange, more importantly, Caleb Williams in the offense here on Raheemy and Harris right here on 670 The Score. It's an ongoing conversation, because this is just mandatory minicamp. We're not to training camp. But still, every step of the way, what we're following is where this offense is, who's learning what, and most importantly, what does Ben Johnson have to say about the relationship between himself and his franchise quarterback, Caleb Williams?
I think it goes beyond that for me. It goes back, like I brought up Tannehill before, and it started with him, and then we had a number of guys that were in that quarterback room in Miami, different quarterback coaches, different play callers, same thing in Detroit, whether it's Stafford or Goff, different guys, and you pick different things up out of all of them. I think there needs to be you use the word accountability. It's like that for every position, but certainly that position, you got to be able to tell them when it's good and when it's not good enough in front of their peers. And then we spent a lot of time together one-on-one as well. I thought that was some of the best things that I did when I became coordinator, was the quarterback and the play caller need to see the play exactly the same. And so you don't develop that trust unless you spend a lot of time together. And for whatever reason, if you do it in the room with all the other quarterbacks, sometimes you can get a little defensive, whereas when it's one-on-one, the truth can come out and no one's feelings are going to get hurt, and each person can speak the truth. And so I guess those are some of the things that I have learned over the years.
This segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. This is Raheemy and Harris on The Score, and I'm very curious about that last part, where Ben Johnson talks about people being defensive. He did not specify on which team where that was the case, but it sounds like something that may stretch to not just one individual, but others, in just talking to a quarterback in day-to-day procedure.
I think what's interesting about that, and I found this to be probably the most interesting thing of all the things he said outside of the Caleb was late and this is what happened.
Well, and the Chris Tannehill reference, that was really nice off the top.
Now, you know it was Ryan, not
kidding.
Chris, but I got you. I'm following you to freedom. I understand what you're saying.
Now, we got to keep that audio for that.
For that reason, just the Tannehill mention?
Yes,
without the Ryan in front of it? So, for Ben Johnson to talk about really what comes down to a management style, right? It's like, are you going to call out someone not doing what they're supposed to do in front of everyone, or are you going to take them aside and address them one-on-one? Now, both of those ways can be effective, but it depends on what the situation is and how dire it is. You don't want to come down on someone who especially is just learning for the first time, say a rookie or a second-year player having to learn a brand new offense in Caleb Williams. But there are other things when you watch film as a group where, yo, what happened right there? I think both those things can be true. But I like his ability to delineate between maybe which approach is called for in which situation. The more I hear from Ben Johnson, and you know, I was the one who was saying, all right, Ben, you've been talking enough. You've said enough. Okay, can we just wait till something actually happens? Well, something's actually happening, and now I'm going back to my former self and saying, hey, let that man cook. Let him cook on the playbook. Let him cook on the microphone. Just I'm here for everything Ben Johnson wants to offer me.
I think I'm at the point right now where when you're hearing the head coach talk about progress this way and you're understanding that people are absorbing a lot of information right now and you know that the time is limited, it stinks because I also think about like a baseball team who hits the All-Star break at the wrong time when they're rolling and then suddenly it stopped because they go on break, or like when a good player is on a really good streak and then unfortunately like a basketball team is like a week off because of the schedule or something like that when you've got that break. I don't want them to stop, but we don't have much of a choice because this is how it is. It's just, it's a shame that for them,
that
they
limits.
Seem to be getting to the point where there is real progress being made and you can hear it in what we're hearing out of the coaching staff and out of players, but it's going to stop. And I know he talked about the timeline where he said, Johnson, we're allowed to take advantage of whatever time we can spend with the players, and they're limited. But it just seems like they're really hitting some sort of informational stride where they're able to get some practice in that is really starting to make some progress.
It takes me back to, because, you know, we're paying attention to the NBA Finals, right? And we're wondering who's going to do what? What are the roles? And you understand how these two teams were built specifically. And it makes me think of, on the Pacers, they have an interesting roster because they didn't have to go into the luxury tax and do all this stuff. But they needed different guys to do different roles, right? And on every team, even if you have star players, you need another guy, or you need a guy on your team who can be that grizzled veteran. So James Johnson on the Pacers, I don't know if you know his story, tough guy. Nobody wants to fight him. He's really, really tough. He's been playing in the NBA a long time. He's 38 years old.
Right.
This is where Case Keenum has to step into that James Johnson old head role. Not that he still can't walk out there and play football if called upon.
Yeah, we both think that he very much can.
So Case Keenum, while he's competing for the backup, I don't know why I'm using air quotes. I take that back. While
confetti.
While he is competing for the backup quarterback spot for the Chicago Bears, what we do know is while their time officially is ending together, Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams and what they're allowed to do together, now you have that guy who's in the group quarterback project who can also serve as the tutor slash mentor who spends even more time with Caleb Williams, making sure that all the concepts are hammered home from Ben Johnson. Whatever they have installed, this is the guy you can work with. Since you're not allowed to talk to coaches, you can work with him to get where you need to be heading into training camp.
Would you call it a toolbox of concepts?
I like that.
No, you don't.
I do.
No.
I do. I'm with it.
Yes, yes, gentlemen, producer crew.
Do you think Case Keenum has a second degree black belt?
I don't think he has that in him. No? I don't think he has that.
You don't? You sure?
James Johnson has a second degree black belt?
Yeah, that's why nobody wants to see him on the court.
That's right.
James Johnson is also 7-0 in the MMA and 20-0 in kickboxing. So he's undefeated in kicking people's ass.
Yeah,
I mean, need Case Keenum to step it up.
I was just thinking about him from a basketball standpoint, thinking nobody wanted to mess with him.
No, I was.
That's why.
Ray knew what I was saying. Nobody wants to see him on the court because if something goes sideways, he'll be the first one.
Indiana does have a really diversified roster,
right?
I mean, like that. I know we're going to get into the NBA Finals discussion a little later on the show. In fact, the exact time for that, my friends, is at 12:45. But It is a good point. Cubs talk about needing a diversified lineup. Like, you want that in all aspects of your game.
And so for the Bears, this is a big part of what they were missing last year. You can ignore it all you want. They didn't have the veteran QB in the room that Caleb could maybe, I don't know, if he's trying to find a more efficient way of watching film, ask the backup quarterback.
A lot of times I just keep on thinking, now that I know all this information this year,
right,
and like the things that Ben Johnson prioritizes and the things that we've heard him say, I'm like, so what happened last year? Was everybody just like, I've got this? And then they just say it really confidently and everybody goes about their business and somebody's carrying a clipboard to look official or something. And everybody just like working in practice. And then like the game is like, no, you don't have
the
this actually.
The simple answer to
like,
that.
Like, you don't got this.
Layla, the simple answer sometimes, it's the Occam's razor, right? The simple explanation is probably
usually the case.
Yep.
The cage?
Shane Waldron was a really, really bad hire. He made everything go backwards, upside down, however you want to put it.
Yeah.
And there was no recovery from the Shane Waldron experience.
But this team, Pete Carroll warned you. It wasn't the Shane Waldron thems. It's the Bears. Like, there was multiple people on it. You had other coaches. You had other players. Like, there should have been some sort of, I don't know, checks and balances and whatnot.
No checks. No checks from Matt Eberflus.
Am I wrong in this?
Excuses like, for Matt
that
Eberflus.
That is my background thought. Like, every time I hear them talk, I'm like, did everybody just say they had it and people just took them at their word? Like, what happened Monday through Friday?
You had the general manager of the team say, like, yeah, I knew things were not going the way they should have before the season.
But there's nothing we can do.
But if you want to know.
There are things you can do. That still baffles me.
Well, it's going to baffle you more because guess who we're about to hear from?
Ah, yes.
Go ahead.
Tyreek Stevenson, which inadvertently caused us to have a really strong discussion in the pre-show meeting about other things levied to a possible punishment for him that affect us all. But we're going to start with Tyreek Stevenson next on The Score.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded 9 to 5 for 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris. Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
Comes down to one last play. And it's going to be getting longer by the second. You're all the way back at the 30-yard line. Now you can step into it. Here comes the Hail Mary with the game on the line. And the ball is caught!
That's CBS on the call. You know what call that was. Good old Fail Mary. This is Raheem and Harris on The Score as we continue to talk about the Bears talking a mandatory minicamp yesterday and our takeaways. It would have been nice to have a takeaway on that play. I said it. I'm sorry. Somebody had to. I give the Bears credit for giving us the players who we really want to talk to so far at minicamp. Like the day before, for example, Marshall, we had guys on the offense who we know are really focused on what the role is going to be for them, and it might be different in DJ Moore. And then we had Cole Kmet as well and DeAndre Swift. And then yesterday, to hear from Jaquan Brisker was huge. Ben Johnson again with more information. And also Tyreek Stevenson.
Listen, they've done a great job. Shout out to Aaron Clark and the Bears PR staff in terms of, hey, these are the guys people want to hear from. Let's make sure that we make them available. Three on offense and then three on defense. Very interesting to see who comes out today to speak. But also Ben Johnson talking every day. And the last question asked to Ben Johnson yesterday was one I was kind of like, oh, okay, this is interesting, because they asked him, who's really stood out to you at camp? And he said, literally, I can't think of anybody off the top of my head, but I will have that answer for you tomorrow. So now we know we're going to get a great answer on that question specifically. I'm really interested to hear how he answers that.
In the business, that's what we call a tease.
Sure is.
But I think for him, you can really tell, even just based on the few plays that we've heard about, whether it's from media, observers, whatever. I think Clay did a really good job of that on the first day. But then also, based on what he's saying, that he really is into the details and the process right now.
Detail.
And if you will, the scheme.
So detail's important. Forgotten detail from last year in that Fail Mary game is that Tyreek Stevenson had one more play to play while he was waving to fans. And I say waving, taunting is the word I was looking for. Sorry.
He was not focused. He was not focused on the play.
Or the details.
And you know, remember the week leading up to it when I was like, oh man, I think there's a chance this Bears game gets flexed. And then we're like, no, that would have already happened by now, right? But we didn't know because we don't cover a team that gets flexed very often. Wow. How would we know how that procedure works? Then we find out, huzzah, the Bears game has been flexed. It's going to be the matchup of two great rookie quarterbacks, Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, upstart teams, new people around them. And then,
yeah, bad things happen. Tyreek Stevenson, not only did he not play the defense he was supposed to, but he ended up not being in position and tipping the ball to the player who would catch the game-winning touchdown. So you're wondering, okay, Tyreek Stevenson now has maybe a fresh start because he's got a brand new coaching staff that he's working with. But listen to what he had to say about having a fresh start with the new staff going back to that play.
I wouldn't say a fresh start. I would just say some of the guys come out with the same mentality. We add some pieces in, add some dogs, and now, you know, it's time to hunt now.
Ben said that he hasn't really talked to you about the Hail Mary play last year. Has Al Harris or any of the new coaches been like, so what happened there?
There's really no conversation need to be had. I owned it. It was a mistake. I just happened to play a sport where my mistake is just national televised, and I feel like talking to me and going through the meetings, they can see that I already owned it up to it. And, you know, I owe the guys from last year nothing but effort and myself, and they see that I'm putting it in. So there's really no conversation need to be had.
I disagree. I strongly disagree with Tyreek Stevenson's assessment of the situation, and that's the play that everyone knows him for. In NFL circles, in football circles, in the city of Chicago.
Most importantly, our listeners.
Yes.
Yeah, so do you know how many times we hear about Tyreek Stevenson and the Fail Mary all the time? We've blocked hundreds of people on the text line. Y'all probably don't even know sometimes. When it comes to the amount of times we have heard about Tyreek Stevenson, the amount of times people bring up his name when it comes to the word discipline simply being uttered by anyone on the Bears. I'm talking anybody. It could be Kevin Warren's super secret assistant. If somebody mutters the word discipline, somebody who listens to our station is going to reply back, Tyreek Stevenson. That is how the law of this physics is working these days. You know, I think it's great that you don't think you need a conversation. I think you need to be on the damn football field to figure out whether or not you need a conversation about this. I think you need to show me every single play.
Well, we're not in pads yet, so
I need them to be.
I get it.
And this is my message.
I don't get why no one, if that's true, has talked to him. Here's what Ben Johnson had to say about being asked if he had talked to Tyreek about that play.
from these teams. And obviously last year you had the Hail Mary play that became a big storyline nationally. Have you talked to them about it and had a back and forth with them about, hey, what happened here? Hey, you can't do that. Anything like that?
No, I think he learned his lesson from that. And his peers have certainly talked to him about it. And it wasn't really any reason for me or the staff to piggyback on that, because he's learned from it. He's grown from it. And what's in the past is in the past, and we're moving forward.
I want to know what the conversation they had was about, because here's what we know about Ben Johnson. Ben Johnson has had these extensive conversations, which were probably designed to go about 15 minutes to a half hour, that have ended up going an hour and a half, 2 hours, depending on who you ask on the Bears roster.
Yes.
And so what were y'all talking about? That's what I'm really keyed in on and wondering, not just what he was talking about with him, but what did Dennis Allen talk about with him? What did Al Harris talk about? I need to know.
It's impossible to say that this was something that wasn't going to hang over your head. Like, that's just, I appreciate you thinking, like, again, you all can say you've moved on and that's cool. That's your job. Our job is to examine how these things come together in a way that lets us know more about your football team and what we can expect to see and what fans are talking about. And fans are very much still talking about this. Like, that's incredibly the case. Like, I don't know how to reiterate that anymore. So when it comes to Ben saying what he needs to say, I get that. But come on, man. You can't tell me that if there's not a preseason game, I'm talking like a drive, where you see him slacking after everything we've heard these coaches say about body language and details and discipline, that you're not giving him a shorter hook.
I think that's the case. I think that's obviously going to be the case. But I obviously, here's how I look at it. Tyrique Stevenson is on his P's and Q's. The I's are dotted. The T's are crossed. It's like the best version of cursive writing you can read, because he knows everything's got to be on point. The syntax has to be perfect. Everything this man does this season is being watched. He's going into year number three. And I actually think that this is going to benefit him in the long run, because I think Tyrique Stevenson understands what the stakes are, not only for the team, the Bears, his performance and how that impact that memory is seared into his mind. It will never leave. He's never going to forget that play and what happened and the aftermath. And so because of that, I think that Tyrique Stevenson is primed to have a Pro Bowl season under Dennis Allen. He's prime, because the talent has never been lacking. No one's ever questioned whether or not this man had talent.
Wait a second.
What?
Can we get a sound effect or something? Like, no, it's got to be something else. We play that as elation. This is like a Marshall Harris hot take we have to keep track of.
I don't think it's a hot take.
Hold on, maybe that's it. And now it's time for a Marshall Harris hot take we have to keep track of. I don't know, I'll work on it.
You might want to clip that right there, what Layla just did, but I don't think it's a hot take. Here's why. The talent is undeniable, like the ability, right? He's a second round pick. Big things were expected out of him. Has he been consistent enough? Absolutely not. Has he shown flashes of how good he could be? And year three is when you take that big step, usually, at any position on defense especially. So I'd love, under Dennis Allen, for him to have the chance to really let loose and go free. Just listen to what he had to say about Dennis Allen specifically and how he might be used.
Actually, how I look at it, he allow us to make our money. Honestly, you're a corner, you're a cover corner, and, you got to cover the guys in his league, and his defense allows you to go out there and build your confidence up week after week, playing man after man on any receiver. So just building that confidence up allows you to go make the plays or take them certain risks that you wouldn't take if you was never put in that position before.
See, I love the comment about allowing us to make our money, by the way.
He knows what time it is.
That's a G statement. You know who I think of when I think of two examples on the team, even in the same relative position group, is that I think about how Kyler Gordon used his second year to have an absolutely fabulous third season. Yeah, I consider the way he used that year, even after we saw some real struggles in his rookie season.
Remember where he came from in that year one.
To be able to springboard, where we saw him at times fall down at the line of scrimmage, unfortunately. And I was like, man, my patience with you, sir. And then he's like, no, Layla, let me show you my second season. And it was tremendous. And then we saw how that turned into his third season, which we're talking about, where we're asking the question, has he led himself up to that level, that Pro Bowl level that you speak of? And I thought, what a great example that is for a guy like Tyrique Stevenson. And unfortunately, that didn't happen. You know, we saw regression in the second year, which is wild to say when you consider how good his rookie season was and what his talent is. Like, he is a guy like that who is really good at searching for a ball, having that skill. Like, the way he sees a field, I think, is really important. And to know all of that and then to see it wasted on performance like what we saw, I think that that is a... It's sad that that didn't happen. You know, it's sad that that example didn't mean more as a way to, not that I'm saying he had to model his whole year after him, but that you can see where that can take you, you know?
For him specifically, here's why I believe he's primed for the Pro Bowl season. Not just the talent, not just a fresh start with a defensive coordinator who's going to put him in position to make plays when he talks about taking risks, when he talks about how much the Dennis Allen system is built on the ability to get deflections, pass breakups, all that. But he isn't a guy who has to have a big season and then wait the next season because, oh, that was just your first big season. He's already on everyone's radar. People know who Tyrique Stevenson is, for better or for worse. And everybody loves a comeback story. Everyone loves a comeback story. That's what this has the potential to be in year three.
I feel like you're coaching him up right now. You're like, you have the potential to make the Pro Bowl. You have a potential to have a comeback season. Everybody loves a good comeback story. I also want to point out what 847 is saying too on the text line, because I've brought this up. You know, Tyrique Stevenson has done some things after the snap when he's facing off with players where he has physical contact. He got away with it against the Texans, if you recall. But that wasn't the case later. These are big personal fouls that we're talking about. It wasn't just one play where there was an issue. And 847 says, what about his history of punching and slapping other players? Is he going to stop that crap too? I hope so. I hope so too, because again, that's part of this. Like, what do we think of when we think of CJ Gardner-Johnson? He gets under people's skin and he'll cost your team with penalty yards. And you know what else? He'll cost your opposing player to do something dumb, like hitting somebody in the head with a helmet on.
And
the helmet protects your head. Do you see what I'm saying?
I love that point that you just made, because here's what I believe. I believe after 2 years of playing in the NFL, he's found somewhat of a balance in terms of the getting under the skin, but also not letting his emotions get out of control where he's costing you yards. I think under Ben Johnson and Dennis Allen and Al Harris, he's really going to have a chance to flex his muscles in a way and now under control, because he's just more experienced. He's been good. He had a nice kind of bow on the season, if you look back at what happened in the win against Green Bay.
Yeah.
I really like where this is headed for Stevenson as an individual, and by way of his individual play, where the defense could be headed if they can, you know, get to the quarterback.
There's that Marshall coach up again. No, Marshall's trying to coach him up. Why is that a bad thing?
I'm not trying to coach him up. I'm making observations. That's it.
I think you sound like an experienced football coach just trying to coach him up.
I'm definitely not that. My coaching skills go to Tecmo Super Bowl, and that's about it.
Both can be true.
Speaking of that, we got to play.
One day.
Not even speaks in you, but like me and you. I want to play. I want to play
you. Did
you
guys
Marshall.
Hear about the Nintendo Switch getting revamped, by the way? Like, that's happening. Ray's just over here, like,
I've heard.
Like,
I've
nodding
heard
like a sage man.
I've heard these rumors. That's true.
People are saying. Okay. I said this at the beginning of the show in transition. There is a lawsuit that might affect the people of our times. I'll tell you what nobody's talking about.
Oh, wow.
That's next on Halftime.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
What time is it?
It's halftime.
It is halftime. We talked a lot earlier about our friend Jaquan Brisker, friend of the show, and what playing through concussion results and rehab means to him. He missed 12 games last season, the last 12 of the year, because he had to work so hard on getting back and getting healthy. If you missed it, go to the Rewind feature on the Odyssey app. It was at 10 o'clock on Rahimi and Harris on The Score. And then we proceeded to talk about the Cubs. It was the pitcher's dueliest of pitcher's duels last night, wasn't it?
It's the game that I felt the best about following a loss.
And then we heard from Tyreek Stevenson also, and Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson on Caleb Williams and snapped that thing.
And then, yeah, and the debate of whether or not the offense have gotten the better of the defense. But Ben told the truth. Fine, Ben, tell the truth.
It's halftime.
Do we have Bill Raftery in the system where he just yells onions? Because if we had that, this would be the time to play that, right?
It would be. Or for, say, for example, when you hear a hot popular song and then somebody yells mustard.
That works as well. Do we have the onions or not? Okay, we definitely have the mustard.
That's so good.
Thank you, Robbie.
Thank you, Robbie. So this is the lawsuit that perhaps may define our times. Texas man sues Whataburger for nearly $1 million because the restaurant didn't hold the onions. The plaintiff is seeking monetary relief over $250,000, but less than $1 million, according to the suit, but up to $1 million. Demery Ardell Wilson filed a petition in Texas's 269th Judicial Court of Harris County, that would be the Houston area, claiming that Whataburger failed to act in accordance with the appropriate standard of care, suffering personal injuries for Wilson.
How's that?
Allergic reaction.
Oh, so he's allergic to onions, and they did not hold the onions.
But also, this is a really common request.
But aren't you also, like, exposed to onions when they're making the, like, all those burgers are exposed to onions, are they
I
not?
Don't work in hospitality, and I thankfully don't have family members who have allergy concerns of that nature. But what I understand is there's two standards. There's the cross-contamination,
right,
where, like, if something touched something else that was the allergen, like peanuts is a good example, that's where you have the disclaimer that says this was made in a facility that processes tree nuts. Like, that
peanut
is
oil,
a more severe allergy. Yeah. You can probably go to a fast food restaurant and have cross-contamination in this case, and it wouldn't have been as bad. But either way, it makes sense. Also, like, this is one of the most common requests on any sort of order is to not have the onions. I don't care because I like onions on my burger, and who am I kissing? But other people kiss people, and they want the onions not on their burger for personal reasons.
Big time onions!
But The filing claims Whataburger was negligent by providing Wilson a meal that included onions and that its inclusion rises to the level of a manufacturing defect. So really, this is more about the laws and how they're written, but it made the news. So as we explained, 250,000 or up to a million, plaintiff expressly reserves the right to amend this damage calculation as its discovery progresses. So what they're saying is it's negotiable.
So is he going to win? I wonder how good of a case he has. I mean, obviously, if you go out and hire a lawyer, that costs money. So
the coffee lawsuit against McDonald's is the one that everybody always thinks of. But if you read what happened as to why the jury awarded such a big award, it was because of the actual temperature of the coffee. Like, yeah. The best practices were not being followed.
Yes, which is the loose lid and then it spills and now you're burned.
Correct. And when I think of like a manufacturing defect, I'm not necessarily thinking of a handmade meal.
First of all, Whataburger. I haven't had a Whataburger in just 4 years or something like that, because that's usually Texas Southwest area, right?
Mid.
Oh,
you think Whataburger is mid?
Oh, she's from Texas. You know that, right?
It's a little mid.
Okay, I also have a hot take that might upset some people. So I
about Whataburger?
I think In-N-Out is better for the burger part.
No one's arguing the In-N-Out fries for anything.
I love In-N-Out fries.
In-N-Out fries. This is not a knock on In-N-Out fries. This is just the truth. In-N-Out fries are, if you've ever had out of a vending machine, potato sticks with the X at the end, that's what they taste like.
Potato sticks.
Have you had potato sticks out of the vending machine?
I have not, but I've had In-N-Out fries and I think they're great. I've also had Whataburger. But here's the key with Whataburger. That's not where it gets great.
You just have to be hammered.
No. Or you just work late and say you get off at 11. And then guess what's available? Breakfast. The taquito is a wonderful, wonderful thing.
See, I've heard that. I've only had the burger. The burger is just like every other burger in the world. So that's where Whataburger is mid to me.
I don't even think that's the
every
case.
Other burger
no,
in the world.
Not.
I don't know what that means.
No.
Like it just tastes like every fast food burger. It's just like a bland burger.
I think all burgers have a very distinct to. Like if you put burgers in front of me, a blind taste test, and I took a bite, I could tell you where each burger was from.
You can? So,
I think I could
absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. You can't tell the difference between a Big Mac and a Whopper.
No, I meant like it's just like the quarter pounder. Like
okay,
it was
the
just
quarter pounder and a water, Whopper.
Whopper
has that flame broiled taste
yeah,
to it.
Yeah, it's a little more spicy.
The best fast food burger, though, is Wendy's, and there's no debate. It's Wendy's.
Yeah, guys,
there's
this plenty Son of debate. Baconator commercial is getting to me. It makes me really want one.
Is that on our air?
Yeah.
So we can talk about it. Okay, yeah. $3 for us.
I'm not
the son
just
of the
saying that.
Baconator is a very good deal. I told you I had two of them the other day.
I'm a victim of this marketing.
My new thing is I don't really do the fries unless they're like the best fries ever.
Why do you have such hot fry takes? Like, what's the fries that you think is acceptable for
no,
you?
No, fries just
the
are.
The Queen of England.
They're especially not good for you. Like, it's better for you to eat two burgers than it is to eat burgers and a fry. You know that, right? From a health standpoint.
What?
Yeah, it's better to eat two burgers than it is fries.
From a health standpoint?
Yep.
Okay,
that's health
so
math
who's,
right there.
Whose fries are bad? Yeah, who's like what? No, not whose fries are bad. What are the fries that you will deem okay for one Mars haul?
Like worth having fries for?
Yes.
All right, let's start with the Checkers rallies. Let's start there.
Oh, hell yeah.
Seasoned
yeah.
fries.
That's big right there.
Yeah, like no one's going to argue that. If you're arguing that take, that just means you are unseasoned.
Marshall, you just... In my mind and in my eyes, your list is so credible now that you started with that.
that's the starting block. The next thing on that would be the curly fries from probably Arby's.
Amazing.
See, anything seasoned is going to be better.
Hold on. They have a breakfast baconator. That's it.
You didn't know that?
I got to get out of here.
You didn't know they had a breakfast baconator?
No.
They really pushed their breakfast stuff. They're behind on in the breakfast game. They were very late to the breakfast game.
Well,
Wendy's
that's okay.
Was.
There's a bag alert here somewhere, right?
Listen,
why'd they get rid of that commercial?
Y'all got to understand... I was a fast food aficionado because I never really had it as a kid. So once I got a little money in my pocket, back in the day, like when you had a dollar could get you the world. I just saw it on Instagram the other day. They were like, McDonald's prices now versus back in the day. And I was like, yeah, because I had $5 and I could eat like a king. That was a thing.
We got a text from 847 that just says, I'll fight you. But on what? 847?
It could have been on many of these takes.
Many so many takes.
Oh, wait. They came out of order. Sometimes the texts come out of order on the
also,
text line.
The Portillo's burger is pointed out by 630. Excellent burger as well.
Also, Culver's.
Culver's
I forgot
is a good burger.
Culver's slaps.
And they said cheddar burger all day, and they have a breakfast baconator. But the first text that came in just said, I'll fight you.
I know we got to go, but I just want to point out, all these burgers that we're talking about, they all taste different. And I could tell you where each of these burgers was from with one bite into each of them.
I guess Whataburger is the one where you could just taste and be like, I don't know what this is. So it's just bland. It feels like they just got it from a store.
We've had a lot of fast food news, and I see that my algorithm is doing some things, leading me to certain places. But I'm not mad at it because this has inspired a lot of discussion. We had breaking snack wrap news. You know, that's coming out in July for McDonald's. Now we have the understanding that, you know, a manufacturer defect can be discussed under the law when it comes to onion placement. All these things are valid.
Also, hold the onions. I'm with the guy. Hold the onions. I go no onions, no pickles on my burgers if it's a fast food burger. I go lettuce, tomato.
815, Layla, I stopped and got the Baconator because of that damn commercial. What is with this commercial?
Because for $3, that's a good value.
No, it's something about the little sound effect. Oh, I am a stupid person. Mark that one.
You know what's next, Layla. You know what's hyped.
It's 5 on It. We have a lot of topics in 5 on It today.
I'm going to have a good time. I hope you do too.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.